Today is the 16th of July 1994, and my name is Dennis Stevens. The title of this article is The Conditions of Life. Life can be meaningfully considered to be divided into the following four conditions or states. I will first give the four conditions and then discuss each one of them in more detail. While a familiarity with the theory of Tromm may help a person to more easily understand this article, such a familiarity is by no means necessary to the achievement of such a feat. Here then are the four conditions of life. 1. The no game condition. 2. The voluntary or non-compulsive game condition. 3. The compulsive game condition. 4. The insanity condition. The first of these states is the no game condition, and that is the one we will discuss first. All of the states are achieved by postulation, by the use of postulates. Well, one thing we know for absolute certainty in Tromm is that this universe only consists of life and postulates. So it's no surprise that each of these four states is achieved by a postulate. So what is the postulate that governs the no game state? The postulate that governs this state is a postulate which prevents the person from making an opposition postulate. It's a postulate that prevents the person, or prevents the spiritual being to be more precise, which prevents the spiritual being from adopting an opposition postulate. He simply postulates that he will not make an opposition postulate to any postulate. So no matter what postulate he perceives, he will adopt a complementary, that is, a non-opposing postulate to it. But we know in Tromm that complementary postulates, because of their very nature, satisfy each other, therefore produce a mutual banishment, and therefore produce a banishment of any mass in the situation. So the no gain condition is a massless condition. It is also a timeless condition, because time itself in this universe is only achieved by postulate. It is also a spaceless condition, because space in this universe is brought into existence by postulate. So we have no mass, no space, no time, and, needless to say, no energy in the no gain condition. The condition is roughly equivalent to the native state that Ron Hubbard talked of in Scientology, although the we can in Tromm define the condition a little better than Ron could, because of our more familiarity and greater understanding of the postulates and the nature of games play. Now, it's necessary to understand that the no games condition is not some highly mystical esoteric state. This belief comes from the Eastern religions, because in the Eastern religion they have a roughly equivalent state to the no game condition called Nirvana. But because they don't really understand the postulate structures involved, they have no great understanding of the games condition and the postulates of the games condition and of the no games condition, that in the Eastern religion this state has become highly mystical and highly esoteric. And so when you hear about this state from the Eastern religions, you think there's something very, very mystical and esoteric about this no game state, or the Nirvana state. As a matter of fact, there's nothing mystical or esoteric about this state at all. In point of fact, everyone has some familiarity with the no games condition. Every person, when they go to sleep of a night time, for some period of their night sleep, are in a no games condition. When they're in the state between dreams, they are in a no game condition. And as most of their sleeping time, their night sleep is between dreams and not actually dreaming, they are, for most of the night, most people are in a no games condition. So that there is the state. Everyone has some familiarity with it, so don't think there's anything esoteric about this state. It's not esoteric at all. There's nothing mystical about it. However, it's quite one thing to lapse into a no-games condition every night when you go to sleep without any great familiarity of how to achieve this condition voluntarily. In TROM, we can get a person to be able to achieve this state voluntarily if they so desire. When I say voluntarily, I mean voluntarily in terms of postulates, that they're able to, by manipulation, by the creation and uncreation of postulates, to put themselves into this state at any time they want to go into it, and then take themselves back out of it again any time they want to. They simply do it by the use of postulates. Now, this is quite different from a person who's going to sleep. A person going to sleep relies upon their body to put them into the state. They wait for their body to go to sleep, then they can go into the state. Until their body goes to sleep, they can't go into this state. Well, we can do better than that. We can do a lot better than that. A person can do a lot better than that when they understand the postulate structure involved. They can actually put themselves into this state at any time they want to. Next, we get to the voluntary or non-compulsive games condition. Now, this one is much more familiar to anyone. It's much more familiar to people, this state is. This is a state where a person can play games or not play games at will. They have the freedom of choice to oppose a postulate or to adopt a complementary postulate. They have that choice. So they can, by exercising their choice to oppose a postulate directed at them, they can go into a games condition. Then by exercising their choice to not oppose that postulate and to adopt a complementary postulate, they can end that game and go into a no-games condition regarding that situation. So that is the voluntary or non-compulsive game state. Now, in TROM, this state is achieved at the completion of level 3. Once a person has completed the first three steps of TROM, they have arrived into a non-compulsive games condition, into a voluntary games condition. They have regained their ability to do this. And the upper levels of TROM, levels 4 and level 5, are devoted to returning to the person their ability to go from the voluntary or non-compulsive game state into the no-game state. It's much more difficult for a person to learn how to go from the voluntary game state to the no-game state than it is to get them up to the voluntary game state. Do you understand that? That is why the first three levels of TROM are much easier to achieve than levels 4 and levels 5 of TROM. But certainly by the time the person has reached the top of level 3 in TROM, they are a voluntary and a non-compulsive games player. The state is also achievable by Scientology auditing. And a person who's had very, very good case gains in Scientology auditing and has completed many of the grades, has been checked out to clear and checked out many of the OT levels of Scientology, this person would almost certainly, but not necessarily, be a non-compulsive games player. The state can also no doubt be achieved by various Eastern religious practices and so forth, and has indeed been achieved by many devout Christians. Undoubtedly, the most desirable state for a being to be in is in the voluntary or non-compulsive game state, while having the ability to return to the no game state by choice. That is the most desirable state for a being to be in. He has his at any time he wants to, he can play games, and then he can, by a flip of his bracelets, he can simply end the games and go into the no game state, go into the no games condition, and there can stay for any length of time he wants to. The no games condition can be stayed in, of course, for minutes, hours, years, centuries, and very useful ability to have if the planet of your choice happens to be in a nuclear winter or suffering an ice age. You simply shut down as a spiritual being and go into a no games condition for a couple of thousand years until things look better again. Then you come out of it and pick up become a voluntary games player again. These are just some of the things you can do when you get into the upper levels of ability. In terms of postulates, the voluntary or non-compulsive game state is achieved by simply postulating that there will be a game. By simply postulating that there will be a game. And making a particular type of postulate that makes it very difficult for you to accidentally go into complementary postulate situation. In other words, a person simply postulates. He puts a little stopper on his complementary postulate, so he won't accidentally make complementary postulates and so end his game. But he's got his finger on it. He knows exactly what he's doing. At any time he wants to, he can take the stopper off, change that postulate, go into complementary postulates, and retire into the no games condition. The third state, and we're now getting into the first of the undesirable states for a being to be in, is the compulsive games condition. Now, the compulsive games condition is characterized by an inability to adopt complementary postulates. The person simply postulates that they won't adopt complementary postulates. It's as simple as that. It's not that they've got a little stopper on it. They've definitely postulated that they're not going to adopt complementary postulates, that they're going to be in there pitching until the bitter end. They're going to be in there pitching. They're either going to win the game or they're going to get overwhelmed. And they don't think about being overwhelmed. They're only thinking about winning the game. So the only way the compulsive game player knows to end the game is to either overwhelm the opponent or get overwhelmed and have complementary postulates enforced upon him, or enforced complementary postulates upon his opponent via overwhelm. That's the only way he knows how to end the game. This compulsive game state is a highly undesirable state simply because it's compulsive. The person simply, once he gets into it, simply cannot stop. He has to be in there struggling. It's all conflict. It never stops. It's all go and all conflict and all battles. And it's all fighting, etc. It's all go. And it goes on forever like that. That's the postulate that makes it so. The postulates make it so. Of all the four states, this is by far the most common state that you will find a being in. If you were to do a statistical survey on this planet, you would undoubtedly find that more beings are in this state than any one of the other states. It's the most common state that the person gets into is the compulsive games condition. Probably the worst thing about the compulsive games condition is that the person, while he's in it, will exalt it and say that he doesn't want to be in any other state. The rationale the compulsive games player will give you for being in his state is that he says it's the only way he can generate game sensation. It's the only way he can get anything out of the game. He can generate any sensations by playing games. What he doesn't understand is that the thirst for sensation only comes about because he is a compulsive games player. When a person goes into therapy in TROM and starts to remove their compulsion to play games, as their compulsion to play games lessens, their thirst for sensation lessens, their thirst for game sensation lessens. So the point where they cease to become a compulsive games player and become a voluntary or non-compulsive game player, their thirst for game sensation is minimal, if it exists at all. This is the thing that the compulsive game player can never understand. The fastest resolution of the compulsive game state is undoubtedly the first three levels of TROM. These are undoubtedly the fastest route out to returning the person back to the state of non-compulsive games play. Although this can only be achieved solo by 95% of humanity, the other 5% will need some assistance early on from a separate therapist, which is a good time for us to introduce the fourth and last of the conditions of life, the insanity condition. Let me say at once that the insanity condition is far and away the most difficult of the four conditions for a person to understand, simply because in the other three conditions the person is operating upon reason, where the very essence of insanity is unreason. And it's very, very difficult for a reasonable being to duplicate unreason or to duplicate insanity. The urge of the rational being is to shun and to pull away from insanity, to pull away from unreason. So the insanity state is an incredibly difficult state for a person to understand. Nevertheless, every spiritual being en route through TROM, when they get into levels five, onto the fifth level, onto level five, will start to regain a familiarity with the anatomy of insanity. They will get to understand how insanity comes about. The first thing we would need to know about the insanity condition is that it's only entered by compulsive games players. Insanity is not a hazard to the non-compulsive or voluntary games player. It is only when a person embarks upon the compulsion to play games are they at risk of going insane. Now this tells us at once that we can proof any person against insanity by getting them to complete the first three steps of TROM. Once they reach the top of the third level of TROM, they're in a voluntary games condition, voluntary non-compulsive games condition, and from that point onwards they are proofed against insanity. But while they're below that level and in a compulsive game state, they are at risk, always at risk of going insane. So one must understand this very, very, very clearly about the compulsive game player. He's at risk of going insane and sliding into this fourth state of the insanity condition. Essentially, the compulsive game player goes insane when he has no class to occupy in the event of overwhelm in games play. It's as simple as that. That's how it comes about. What has happened is that his game player has become so compulsive, he's got his life so restricted, he's narrowed his freedoms of choice down so much that he's now in his last game. If he loses this game, he has no place to go. And then he goes and loses the game. So where else can he go but insane? The insane person is literally caught in the crack between a postulate and its negative. He's trying to dramatize both postulates simultaneously He's trying to operate on both the postulate and its negative simultaneously. He can't stay in the game because he's just been overwhelmed. But he can't go out of the game because he has no other place to go to. So he's got to stay in the game. So he's in the crack in between there. And that briefly, in essence, is the insanity state. Another way to look at the insanity state in terms of Scientology would be that the person is simply stuck in an engram. He went into the engram and there he stuck. He never came out. And there he is today. He's still in that engram. And the engram happened to him 25 years ago. And he's still in it. He hasn't made any sense since. He went into that engram and it ruined him psychologically. And he's never really come out of it. Now that is the Scientology look at insanity. And it's a very valid look at it. It's a very valid look because this is factually what happens to the person. He gets overwhelmed and there's no place to go except insane. I'll be preparing a full logical analysis of this subject of insanity, which will be made available with various other matters in supplementary material to TROM. We do understand the postulate structure of insanity in TROM, and because we understand it, we can do something about it. Although at a practical level, the best procedures for handling the insane are still the CCH procedures of Scientology. And these CCH procedures would be run until such time as the person has completed level one of TROM. And when they pass the test in level one of TROM, they can then go on to level two of TROM solo as a compulsive games player. Never miss it. When the insane becomes sane, they are compulsive games players. They went from compulsive gameplay into insanity, and when they return back out of insanity again, they go back into compulsive gameplay. So that's where you would pick them up. So that is our fourth level, and completes our four conditions of life. What may be very difficult for a person with a Scientology background to understand when they first meet TROM and meet these four conditions is that as we move a person up through the conditions, say up from insanity through compulsive games play into non-compulsive games play into the no games condition, as we move a person up through these conditions in therapy, as a person is moved up through the conditions in therapy, their engrams, their engram bank, their reactive bank, as we know it in Scientology, is progressively erased. The action of changing a person, say, from a compulsive game player to a non-compulsive game player in TROM would result in an enormous reduction in the amount of their bank, in the amount of bank that they have, or the amount of engrams they have in re-stimulation, call it which way you will, that their reactive bank as such progressively vanishes as they move through these steps of TROM and go up through these various conditions of life. Some of this bank, some of this reactive bank will be experienced by the person en route through these conditions. But the vast majority of their bank will fall away untouched, but will be available to them in their standard memory banks and their analytical mind. So nothing is being lost to the individual. But there's nothing magical about this. It's simply that we're working at such a tremendous level of simplicity when we're working with these fundamental postulates of conflicting and complementary postulates and the Gauss packages at level 5, that vast amounts of complexity in the mind simply fall away, simply resolve. And associated with this complexity is a vast amount of engramic material. So the engramic material falls away untouched, because we're working with this great simplicity. You would have to do this to actually fully comprehend what I'm talking about. But it's quite remarkable. It's quite remarkable. In the final instance, it's not the amount of reactive bank that a person has that determines at which level they are on these conditions. It's the state of their postulates and their freedom of choice to use these postulates that determines the amount of reactive bank that they have. Well, I hope this article on the subject of the four conditions of life will be useful to you and give you a greater reality of just what we're doing with TROM. Thank you very much.